This is NBC Academy's class featuring Jim and Jory Mansky called The Vortex of Submission. So let's move into a self-connection exercise. It begins like all exercises like this, with just a chance to connect with yourself about your own willingness to do the exercise. Check out whether or not you're expecting that it'll meet any needs for you. And then maybe tune into what needs you are hoping to meet by taking this time to be present for yourself. And then to bring your attention to your breath. Notice what it's like for you to have a mindful breath. Without trying to change anything, just notice what it's like for you to breathe. To take this time to be with yourself. You might enjoy scanning your own body to see if there's anything that your body needs to be comfortable right now, to support you in a vital presence with yourself. Notice if there's any tension that needs attention. And if so, just to notice it, cultivate a quality of presence with it, to be with however you are. To cultivate a quality of permission. That whatever is going on for you right now in terms of physical sensations, emotions, whatever you're telling yourself, whatever needs are alive in you as the call begins, to just cultivate a sense of acceptance. A sense of allowance. And like a gift, to send that out to everyone else. Having a sense of acceptance and allowance. And then to connect with something wonderful that happened to you today. Something that you really liked. Maybe it was to seeing a spring flower. Maybe it's arriving at the call and knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded folks. Maybe you received a phone call or connected with somebody. Or maybe it was just the taste of something delicious. Maybe it's just something as simple as that you have a roof over your head. Some protection from the elements. To first observe whatever it is that has happened or is happening for you that you're appreciating. And then to take a moment and connect with what need of yours is satisfied by that. And then to savor that need. Savor the sense of gratitude. And then to consider for yourself as the call goes into the next part, what needs brought you here today? And what requests do you have of yourself or of others on the call of Jim or Jory? What would make your life more wonderful for the next couple of hours? What could you ask of yourself? What might you ask someone else here? If something's arising in you and you'd like to make a note of it so that you can get back to it when it's your turn to check in, that would be great, especially if it's a question or something that's sticking in your craw about any of the content of the class so far, the exercises, anything not working for you. Love to make space for that in our check-in in just a moment. Also to hear anything that you're celebrating about how this information is being integrated in your life. I know I'm feeling really grateful having read some email exchanges on the forum and hearing how people are both being challenged and benefited by the practices. It really adds a sense of meaning for me, a sense that it's kind of a deep quality of connection to know that I've been heard and that this has been somehow meaningful to you as well. I'm really savoring that. I'd love to just take some time to hear from each of you in terms of a check-in tonight and hear how you are and what you would like. So, Kim, what's up?
Well, I'm very glad to be here tonight. Enjoyed the self-connection exercise. I've been single parenting it for the last few days. Right before I came onto the call, my oldest daughter and I connected in a way that I had to use everything that I had learned so far in this class in order to maintain what I said to her, just being tired and her wanting something at the last minute, that kind of thing. So the self-connection exercise was very nice to sit for a moment and just realize how wonderful it is to have a daughter who stands up for herself and her wants and her needs and her desires, even though at times it can be frustrating to mom. So much to be thankful for, and very, very glad to be here.
Thank you, Kim. Go to check in with Charlene next, and then Roberta. Charlene.
I guess what I was looking forward to, or what I think what I take away, is you give us formulas for the things that aren't easy to actually, I wouldn't think had formulas. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlene. And we'll go to Roberta next and then Jean. Roberta?
I like Charlene's word formulas. I'm really enjoying understanding that there are tools for me that are available and starting to feel more conscious of them and also more conscious of where I am, which is really a nice feeling. So thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. Savoring that increasing self-awareness. Jean and then Louise.
I really appreciated the opening exercise. What I got from it was that some of these exercises have been a little hard to do because it's kind of hard to share this, but if I don't have a current resentment or if I'm not doing the urge to punish someone, then it's hard to want to look back at these things, you know. And the two things that I realized in the opening exercise is that I want to open to going even deeper and releasing those deeper things that may not be like right in the current moment, and to learning to listen more deeply. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Louise, and then River.
Oh, I love that reminding about, for the support and remembering, to just have permission for whatever my experience is. Just that allowance and being with what is helps me amplify it with resistance. I'm really appreciating that. Just looking forward to what we do together. So I'm in.
Thank you. All right. So we'll go to River next and then Teresa.
Well, I feel very pleased to be on the call. My need for community and just presence is being met. I feel pretty present today. Oh, there was a request about input about the class, maybe, and a couple things came to mind. Since I missed the first class, I don't know whether this happened, whether there was like an advanced organizer that went through the vortex portions and how this goes into that, so we kind of knew what was coming. If that didn't happen, that would help me. And I noticed that I was a little lost a couple times when we transitioned from check-in and that beginning portion to the lesson content. It would help me to hear said really clearly, okay, here we go on the content of today's lesson or whatever it might be. That clarity would be really useful for me. So, yeah, any advanced organizer with this separation of us and space would be especially welcomed by this guy.
Yeah, I appreciate the reminder and the coaching to kind of clearly mark out the various pieces. And your other request about kind of an overview of the vortex is perfectly timed, as you'll see in a few minutes when we do that transition. Thank you, River. And here next is Teresa.
In terms of the class, I guess I really appreciated the merging exercise from last time and being able to really focus on what needs I was able to meet and what needs I was not able to meet for myself, and spending time there where I otherwise wouldn't, because I felt badly about the action I had taken. And so thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
I sent out a copy of the Vortex as a handout. What this handout is really a visual representation of the vortex that shows the variety, or each of the stations of the vortex, the various different points at which we can lose connection with ourself and others and fall more deeply into the habitual pattern, or we can become more connected through a practice that we've shared so far. So the whole picture of the vortex and how we arrive there is probably anywhere on this vortex, but usually we start with the submission. So the habitual pattern starts with either a sense of unconsciousness that we say yes to something because we're just not aware at all that we have any other choice, really. Or we just do it habitually just because yes is the right answer to give someone when they ask us for something. And so we just sort of say yes without being very self-connected. So we're working with this realization that we have said yes, we have submitted out of a have to. So we have to. We don't have any other choice. For example, for me, I actually realized that part of what has been very draining for me is that I started to fall unconsciously into this habitual pattern of have to today. So we're doing a fair amount of scheduling around our 8-month program, and I took on putting together something that would be accessible on our website with all the different teleclasses and pod meetings, and we have mentoring calls and all of this. And I started to fall into this, I have to do all this scheduling. I have to put this on the calendar on our website and somehow make order out of this. I can't make any of my mentoring appointments that I have to make, otherwise it's going to be so hard later. And just on and on about how it's just, I have to do this. And I'm sort of unconscious of that self-connection of choice. And so at the moment that I actually do an intervention and self-connect, I move from have to choose to. And for those of you who have the vortex in front of you, you'll notice that there are three colors of things that that we label. So the first one, blue, submission, is actually the stage of the vortex. I'm in the stage of the vortex of submission when I'm busy, hurrying up to try and get this all organized. And it's submission because, as you'll see in the second line, the disconnection is really a denial of responsibility. And I really like the word respondability better than responsibility, because responsibility has actually taken on a sense of have to for itself. Or we've now built that into our domination system, that responsibility is a have to. So I like to call it a respondability. When I am doing it out of have to, I'm doing it reactively. When I move from have to choose to, I move to the ability to respond. I'm really choosing and connecting to what that means to me. And that's what you'll see. And it starts with the stage, goes to the form of life alienation that I'm in, with the denial of responsibility. And then the green is the intervention, the shift for transformation. So if I make that shift of transformation, it took about 5 minutes for me. It was easy. It was quick. But there was quite a bit of time in there before I really took that time. And so it's really easy to fall into an unexpressed expectation, which is the second stage of the vortex. Now I'm deeper into it. I'm disconnecting even further, because now I'm not only thinking I have to do something, but I have a demand of other. And in this case, it was a demand of Jim. It was a demand that he be doing the calendaring for our mentoring appointments. And at the moment I heard behind me, when someone came up and said, "Can you calendar me now?" And I said, "Would you please ask Jim?" And they said, "Oh, I already calendared with Jim." And I heard him say, "Oh, I'll calendar you with Jory too." I wanted to wring his neck. My whole sense of trust was lost. I stepped a little bit far into, the first moment was disappointment, I should say, but I had the demand that he do it. And then the next step, and the way I release that demand is if I'm very conscious and I go back to, "I realize you haven't done this. Would you be willing to?" And I make that request. But I didn't. So I became disappointed, another denial of responsibility. He disappointed me. If I had stopped and done the self-empathy in that moment, I would have reconnected, but I didn't. And so I fell into the next stage of the vortex, which was resentment, where I diagnosed Jim. "He's selfish. He doesn't have my back. He just doesn't even see me. He's unconscious," whatever. Just all those things. Those were three that I can recall and connect to right now. And in that moment, I think I had at least enough empathy, because I'm not sure I did anything. Either that, or I was so overwhelmed with what I was doing. I didn't have even the resources to act about this. So I could have actually had empathy for him and transformed that enemy image. I'm not aware I took any time for empathy at that point. It was just on task, still with the have to. But had I actually connected with him before I did any intervention, it's very likely I might have acted in a way, a rebellious way. I might have said something that would be out of my own integrity or with an intention to hurt, because I've fallen into the life alienating pattern of deserve. He deserves to be hurt because I feel hurt in relationship to what he's done. I resent his choice. And so he deserves to feel my pain. So as I moved through the vortex in this pattern, if I had acted out in a way that was out of my integrity, and I had not broken the pattern there by stopping and doing anything to kind of wake me up, it kind of, that this part, the wake-up call, sort of reminds me of in the old movies or things that I used to see where someone would be starting to freak out and someone would slap them across the face and they go, whoa, and they kind of wake up. You know, some sort of intervention, any sort of intervention that can wake us up and break that impulse to hurt, so that we can then reconnect to ourselves with some empathy, either from someone else or some other supportive thing within ourselves. But if that happens and I'd acted in some way and not had an intervention, it's likely I would have fallen into the next pattern, which is guilt, shame, or depression in relationship to my own actions. That self-blame that turns inward, which is actually a life-alienating stage of making a demand of myself that I be different. But that lack of compassion for myself. And at that point, there is another intervention. If I don't take that intervention, I'm likely to move right into, I don't deserve, or you deserve better. Look how I treated you. So if I had actually applied the intervention of beneficial regret, where I have that sense of connection to myself and self-compassion and take from it a learning and reconnect to my wholeness as a human being, then I don't fall into that deserve and that place where I'm likely to say yes when it's a no again. That yes intensifies. It's like it creates a bit of a whip in the vortex. So it goes even faster now. Now I say yes, and I'm within a very brief period of time right there at resentment. And then acting out again, feeling guilty. The next thing comes up, and I do something, and I then resent that I did it. Faster and faster, and it's harder and harder to have moments of even being aware that I'm in a vortex. And I imagine we have all done this. And I'm also aware that already you maybe have been aware of having done this and have noticed something else and made a different choice. And so on that note, what I'd like to do is to do a round again. to just go inward and connect to what it's like to realize this vortex and the experience of it in your life. Okay, I see Roberta has her hand up.
I'm so appreciating this diagram. You know, I've been kind of connecting it loosely, but this brings it together in a powerful way. Each step, what I could be doing, what I'm doing, and as I was listening, I am walking through with you your example, but also at the same time realizing how easily I can be in those places and have been. And then at the end, when I heard how it picks up, you know, it pulls even faster, and pretty soon I'm not sure where I am. Boy, I can relate to that in a sad, very sad way. There's a mourning there, and yet there's a celebration that now I have a tool. I want to hang this somewhere up where I can see it every day and come back to it. So thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. And Charlene, how are you with this?
Hopeful, because maybe I can recognize, and even in the past, if I could recognize, I didn't have much direction. And I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful.
Yes, it's very human, and it's very cultural, actually. It's a learned behavior that we have inherited through the systems that we have created over centuries.
I got goosebumps when you said that. So
yeah, you come by it royally, as they say. We kind of learned this unconsciously from watching our parents and our grandparents and our teachers and all the important people in our life who are also, for many, many people, this is such an unconscious pattern. I mean, we see people all the time in our mediation work, and we kind of eventually teach them about this. And they're all having the same experience that I'm hearing you report of, wow. You know, where did this come from? Wish I would have known about this. I have some mourning about it. So it's deep in us as a part of our humanity that has been around for thousands of years, apparently.
Yeah, and the reason why I said it's learned is because if you watch a baby doesn't submit. It's not our nature to submit. And yet at the same time, I know babies who are abused who learn to submit very early, very early. And they learn if they cry, they get slapped. They won't do that. And in some ways, unconsciously, all of us have been told to be good, be quiet, don't complain. You know, you have to do it just this way. You don't have a choice. I'm the parent, because we've been part of a domination system, and we've learned to run our families that way and our schools that way. And it's deeply, deeply rooted.
Yeah, on a lighter note, it reminds me of the story that I heard from one of my teachers, Tara Brock, who was talking about the first day of school in the first grade, and the teachers in the front of the room just kind of telling them what all the rules are and so forth. And she says to the class, you know, if you need to go to the bathroom, raise your hand. And one little boy in the back says, how's that going to help? And it's kind of, but it's also kind of sad, because it's so unconscious in us to even meet a basic need like going to the bathroom. You have to get permission from authority. So it's very deep in us. Kim, anything up for you about this?
Yes, I guess I'm just really mourning, I think, more than anything else right now. Something about watching it go round and round in the circle. And it still draws me to that first step. That to me, that seems the easiest one to extricate myself from, I guess, is the best way to put it. That submission step is the one that I keep being drawn to, but I must say I have a lot of mourning about the rest of it. How it's so easy to just slip from step to step to step. Just trying to maintain consciousness about that first submission step.
Really touches sort of a tender place. Look at that the kind of the spinning of it, and how it, and yet there's also, I'm hearing some hope for you about how if you can catch it early, that maybe you can break the cycle.
Right. That is my hope. Knowing fully well that that doesn't always work.
Yeah. Yeah. So also kind of creating some space and some acceptance that maybe you win some and you lose some with catching it that early because it's such a deep pattern. Yeah. Thanks, Kim. River and then Louise.
I'm deeply appreciative of this map. I was making some notes on it, and I put a little trademark behind the vortex of submission brought to us by the domination culture. I mean, it's really the root of how we just perpetuate the, you know, separation. And one of the things that helps me is when I hear myself calling somebody a name, I know I've got work to do, but after being exposed to the vortex, it helps me place it in the cycle. So somehow there's some like added oomph to know what to do and where to take it, and I just find it really a helpful tool. Naming the process and naming the cycle somehow gives me support in managing it because, gosh, at least in the world where I live, it's predominant, this domination attitude. It's just so thick at work in particular. It gives me a hand up. It really does. One thing, I do have a request. If I could hear some more about the perceptual reorientation, if there's ever an appropriate time for that, I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about it. I wanted to wait until we got the whole thing going, and then I'll come back.
Hey, Louise?
I was really appreciating, Jory, what you had to say about respondability, kind of creating a new word, because responsibility has turned into such a, I have to, such an unconscious lack of choice and all of that. Really enjoyed respondability. Something else that really spoke to me particularly right now is the guilt, depression, shame place. You said something about a demand of self that I should be different. And I am finding that really helpful. What I've been going through particularly lately has been this incredible physical loss of energy. And that's affected my mental, spiritual aspects of that as well. It just really turned on a light for me of how it can be easy to fall into this disappointment, but even deeper, this demand of self that it's not okay to be this way and I should be different. And that can really get things spinning. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Louise. That really resonates for me hearing that. That really resonates deeply in me hearing that. And what a tender place for me around all the shoulding that I've done on myself, especially like I noticed after a conflict with Jory, especially if the conflict has something to do with some way that I've used language, used words, you know, that hasn't worked for Jory, and I learn about it later. It's just so, there's the first layer of pain is around how I've done something that hasn't met Jory's needs, and that's painful. But then I add this whole layer of suffering on top of I should know better, I should never talk, I should keep my mouth shut. It's almost like a little tape recorder gets pushed in my head, and I can pretty much predict what this litany of demands on myself are. And yeah, just a tender place for me. I'm grateful for this tool too, because it kind of helps me to realize that I can transform even that kind of a demand to myself to a request, to some sort of next step that I might take to learn something from this thing that has happened, or to just a request to be present for the uncomfortable feelings that I'm having, or be present for Jory's uncomfortable feelings, something along those lines. Thank you. Jean?
Yeah, this kind of put together what I was saying about the resistance to look back at the resentment and the guilt and the shame and the beneficial regret, because what I kind of saw was myself going down and down in this dark hole of submission, where I become quiet and withdrawn and do the flight part of the fight or flight. And, my whole being was sort of in that space. And then I went, but wait a minute. Now I have tools, and now I can make choices. And so then, it was like the colors just started coming out of that vortex. I can make a choice. If I don't make a choice right in the beginning at the submission, I can make a choice down where I'm disappointed, or at any point, I can make a choice and choose to get out of the vortex of submission and work through whatever the issue is.
Yeah. How empowering to have this model and to see that at each place along the way there's some new choices, some interventions that you can employ that can increase awareness and increase choice. Thank you, Jean.
Yeah.
Yeah, Teresa.
I think I'm just appreciating everyone's reflections on it, and I am also, I guess the piece that's coming together for me is I've been feeling a little bit behind and feeling like, I need to be getting these things in this particular order, but seeing this vortex just really helps put me at ease to understand that I could go around that thing two or three times, and at any point I have the choice to not submit.
Yeah, to choose once again. My experience is when I allow myself to wake up on the vortex, It gives me some sense of hope that I can do something differently. And I've had enough experience now with NVC as a 10-year-old baby giraffe that I'm beginning to trust the process more, even in those moments of deep pain, that this too would be impermanent and that I'll be able to climb back out of this vortex into a sense of more self-connection and self-love again. So thanks, Teresa. Jory.
So, I heard several people mention mourning, and this is very common when we really touch into the loss of connection and the loss of well-being that this vortex contributes to. When we're on this vortex, it's hard to feel the love that we might feel for ourselves or other people. It's hard to feel the sense of even the resource to get our own needs met, and we're making tragic choices. And as we continue to go around this vortex, if it keeps going round and round in the same relationships, and we keep hitting that resentment and that enemy image, we kill the relationship. The relationship dies because it no longer has any life. And I imagine we've all lost relationships, really damaged relationships due to this. And because we keep doing it and the enemy image gets so strong, we actually create a perceptual reorientation. I've seen this over and over again when I've sat with people who are coming to us thinking it's time for their relationship to end. And we've done a lot of divorce mediation. I don't like to call it divorce mediation because people come to us for a divorce and stay together. People come to be together and they decide to leave the relationship. But either way, they do it from a whole place. But all of us have had perceptual reorientation. Here was someone who we thought we loved, who was this wonderful person in our lives, and somehow it starts out that way and it ends up, well, I knew they were terrible right from the beginning. I saw the inklings of it. They've always been selfish. And we start to redefine everything by our enemy image. So when that person decided to go out in the evening to be with some friends instead of spend time with us, and at that time it seemed okay, but later on we begin to believe they don't care about us and they only care about themselves. We go, yeah, I remember that time back then when they went out. And they didn't take me with them, or they didn't even ask. Never did. So they've never never, ever cared about me. So obviously that must have been happening then too. And it's not that rational. It's just that our mind, it's like putting on colored glasses and we no longer see the person as they are or as they have been, but as we now have redefined them. And that perceptual reorientation is what more often I see in couples that split up. Now, a healthy split up is an acknowledgement that we're not playing enough games together to make it work. There isn't a chemistry, or somehow we're just not interfacing. Our lives just are not easily flowing together. That's different, because then we can separate as friends, or at least choose to have an open heart toward each other. But this perceptual reorientation, on the other hand, is a cut. I want you out of my life. I never want to see you again. I'm sorry you were ever here.
This term perceptual reorientation, let me just unpack it a little bit. Perceptual just meaning that how we are seeing another person, how we're experiencing them, and we are literally looking at them. We're reorienting how we see them, how we experience them. This is a term that we feel grateful to the work of Leslie Cameron Bandler, one of the co-developers of neurolinguistic programming. Back in the 80s, she wrote a book called Solutions, where she talked about this pattern. And part of the metaphor of this pattern of perceptual reorientation, and the reason that we drew it on the chart like this with a line, is the line represents like a threshold between one door and another. And if you remember in The Wizard of Oz, in the very beginning of The Wizard of Oz, the movie is in black and white. Dorothy is seeing the world in a certain way. And she goes around the vortex once. In other words, she goes through one doorway and it stays black and white. She's very confused and it's a certain way. And she goes through doorway number two. And even though she's crossed yet another threshold, the movie remains in black and white. And then she crosses the threshold the third time. And suddenly she's in Oz. And the world is completely different. It's colored differently. And so that's what happens if you go around this vortex metaphorically three times. It might be 300 times. It might be 3,000 times. It might be 3 million times. It might be three times, whatever. At some point, if you continue to go around it unconsciously, the whole world will shift. Your view of the world will shift, and you don't see it through the same lens anymore. There is a way out even from that. You can begin to repair the reorientation by unpacking gratitude, by going back and finding one thing that the other person did any time in their life to anybody else, even if it wasn't you. And so with some intention, you can begin to use the process of gratitude to reorient to a more life-serving way. So if there's somebody in your life that you have had some perceptual reorientation with and you want to play around with that, you can just begin by beginning to find some things that you feel grateful for about that person and rebuilding your worldview of seeing that they too, it's kind of like a deep process of healing the enemy image through gratitude.
So, anybody want to say anything, raise your hand. This has stimulated anything you'd like to share. Charlene?
Something just that the emotional pain won't kill me. He didn't say that exactly, but he triggered that thought that I had this week. The class is helping me become aware that, you know, I guess as a child, pain seems really devastating emotionally. I suppose that's why I'm afraid of it, or it frightens me. But I'm beginning to trust that there is no emotional pain that will kill me unless I let it. So, sense of freedom to live fully. And I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Shirley. Okay, so what I'd like to do is move into a written exercise to explore what's going on a little bit deeper. And so have a paper and pen in front of you, or a computer or whatever you're writing on in front of you. Just take a moment right now and connect to any of your experiences of being on the vortex. Whether you are aware of having said yes when you meant no, the resentment, having done something that you regret, just at whatever point, just think of a time. All right. Just take a moment to jot down who this was with. And maybe one sentence or something, just so you can come back and remember the particular point at which you identified this. Just with who and one sentence. Like it was with my mother when I was 6, and maybe even observation, and she asked me to cut my hair. Or if it's at the point of resentment, I had said yes, and he selfishly took it. It's more than an observation. Something written there that will help you anchor back into that. So just allowing yourself to be with the feelings you have right in this moment. Tuning into how it feels right now, looking back on having fallen into the vortex. Having been a victim of your own ignorance and your cultural patterning. Allow yourself to feel the physical sensations and the emotions. Keeping your focus on your sensory experience. And if thoughts arise, let the thoughts go, let the feelings be. Focusing on the feelings. Allowing yourself to feel whatever it feels like to have had this experience, to have fallen into the vortex. And then consider, in this circumstance, what was so important to me? And as that arises for you, just write that down. What was so important to you in that moment? In whatever form it comes to you. My mother asked me to cut my hair, and what was so important to me is that I look beautiful and have my long flowing hair and feel really feminine. Write down what it was for you. We have a question from Jean. Yes?
I'm a little confused by the last instruction.
Mm-hmm. So you're of a time when you got lost in the vortex, yes?
Oh, yes.
So as you look back at that, what was it that really mattered to you in that moment?
Okay, got it.
And then as you look at what you've already written, just kind of peel that onion to see. And if I had had that, what would be the deeper meaning of that? And write down just whatever comes up. So if I could have been more feminine, then maybe other people would have liked me better. And then if I ask myself again, which I suggest you do, and if people liked me better, then maybe I would have felt better about myself. And if I asked myself again, and if I felt better about myself, what would that mean? That I would have been connected to myself. I would have had self-love. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would have been connected to my own self-love. So do that until you get to that place where it's, oh yeah, that. And when that happens, when you can connect to something that is that universal and that deeply grounding for you, press one. So as you consider what you really wanted in that circumstance, all of you, and just what it was that you've identified, what the need was, and you look back at the circumstance that you initiated in, you might notice that that need did not get met by the actions that you took. And you might also notice that maybe there were some other needs that weren't met by that. And just to allow yourself to feel what it feels like to have these needs not met. To let yourself feel that. And to let your thoughts go. And let your feelings just be there. Imagining there is some sadness, the natural sadness that we feel when something is lost. In this circumstance, something was lost. And to let your thoughts go and just let yourself feel what it feels like to have something lost, something precious, this precious need, maybe more than one. And if thoughts arise that are more stimulating, let the thoughts go and just go back into your body and let those feelings be. There's actually anger there instead of sadness. Allow yourself to touch what really matters underneath that anger. Then just let the feelings be. Allowing yourself to feel the natural pain of loss. Without continually re-stimulating it with the thoughts, just the feelings. Thoughts will come and go, but just let them go. And notice in your body what the physical sensations are. Allowing those emotions to flow through you without resistance. And without feeding them with your thoughts. Without feeding them with your thoughts, feelings come and go. And it can become that sweet pain that flows through you without getting stuck. Allowing yourself that natural flow of mourning. You're so human, just like all of us. We're all human. We experience the pain of loss, and we experience the sweetness of what really mattered. We only feel pain because something really mattered. When you're ready, if you'd like, notice your breath. Start to put your focus on your breath. Bring yourself right here, right now. Notice the room around you. Feel the air on your skin. Think of one need that is met for you right here, right now. One thing you feel appreciative of, something you feel gratitude about. Maybe it's even the need that you were mourning wasn't met then is now met in this moment, right here, in this room, right now. And then just take a couple minutes to take any notes that you'd like to take around what you've experienced, anything that you've learned, anything you want to highlight for yourself in this exercise. So just take a moment to finish up if you want to take any more notes. And in this moment, to know that for whatever has happened in the past and whatever that loss is, you now know more than you knew then. You now will probably make a different choice. You have more wisdom, experience. And it'll always be this way as we keep evolving and learning. Giving yourself permission to be on the path of development. I'd love to hear from some of you to hear how this is for you and what you've learned, whether this exercise was useful for you or not. River?
Yeah, this is really useful. I'm sitting with a deep sense of communion that I was after. But I want to give a little background. The incident was I was installing a sink with a friend at work because there was just this little bar sink, and 50 people are on the floor where we work. We're putting in a double well sink, like a kitchen sink, so we could clean up, wash our dishes. But this is a large commercial building. And we got caught by the building manager. He insisted that we stop immediately. He was threatening to have security escort us out. And there was all sorts of enemy images. And one of the things that came out of my mouth was, sometimes for me, my work life and my home life, that line, that distinction gets blurred. And that there was a shift in that moment. And what I realized is that I think there's a natural tendency, certainly for me, to empathize sort of in reverse, like let others know what's motivating me or what my inner world is like in an attempt to make understanding and peace. And to be able to name that was helpful. So that's what's up for me.
Yeah, so you're hoping that moment that if you expressed your authenticity, that he might understand you, and then there could be either forgiveness, compassion, or at least peace between you.
Yeah, we'd meet like humans. He would get that there was no malice, that there was some unconsciousness that went on, but really the motivation was for me to contribute, not to encroach in his territory. The explanation for me that I think he got, there was a shift there, that I gave him a glimpse into my inner world, he got it, and there was a moment of peace. Nothing really changed on the outside, but I feel like there was an emotional shift.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I appreciated your twist on it. And I'd love to hear from some people what their experience of mourning, allowing yourself to feel the feelings and to let the thoughts go and just be with whatever feelings were there without re-stimulating them over and over with the feelings. So, Roberta.
I really appreciated this exercise. Yeah, there's a lot of mourning. I picked a situation that I'm actually, it's kind of alive. It's not, I haven't zoomed into the vortex, but I noticed what happens is I can go from submission in this situation, but I think this is a pattern for me. I can then project that somebody else has an expectation, but it actually might be my superego. So it could be internal projected, or it could be my idea of somebody's expectation. And or that they will be disappointed, and I'll go right back to step one. So I'm not taking any choice. I'm submitting. And I don't know if that's common. If I don't do that, I then can go really quickly through those projections into resentment and around. So sitting with this situation, I realized where I am. And then when it got to the needs, it got to what feels like a really vital need. Why am I doing this? There's a lot of desire to be acceptable, secure, but underneath that, it's worth. I'm not valuing myself. So that there was a lot of mourning there. Thank you.
Really touching how important your own sense of self-worth is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And feeling the sadness that there has ever been a time when you haven't addressed that. And noticing how you are addressing it now.
Yeah, that I do have a choice this time around.
Yeah.
To move in a whole
Yay.
New way. Yes.
All righty. Thank you. We'll go to Jean and then Louise.
I'm having a hard time looking back at the resentment, and I'm finding myself sort of falling back into the vortex, because then I feel ashamed because I have the resentment. So it's hard to find that self-love, the self-care that I'm looking for. And I actually kept bouncing back and forth between two situations, but they actually both end up being with the same result.
So still feeling that sense of the shame and not seeing really the value and the lesson yet in what you have done in the past. Not seeing yet the need that was so important to you by the choice that you made.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm not seeing the need yet. I'm feeling the shame is almost so overwhelming just for having resentment. Which I know in like logical mind it's like it's the human condition, and like you're saying, with the vortex, that I'm not able to see the need.
So you haven't yet connected to the life-serving purpose of that resentment, huh?
No, I don't think so, but I am writing down what you just said, life-serving purpose of the resentment. Okay, I'm going to work on that.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to go to Louise and have that be a, I'd love to hear what you have to say, Louise, and then to also then segue that into your checkout, if you would, of whatever you'd like to say to be complete on the call, and we'll start with you for the checkout. Does that work for you, Louise?
Sure. The experience of letting it flow was just elegantly simple, a real deep sense of self-connection, and the sense of being at the essence, and that the energy was flowing, and that the thoughts are kind of more static or chatter or whatever, and just the simplicity, not simplistic, but the essentialness of getting in touch with, wow, yeah, that really mattered. Oh, wow, look at what I was going for. Kind of made things expansive, easier. And when you brought us back to the present moment, I found those needs that I was looking for, which was purpose and love, here in the present moment, that being in this group is getting my needs met for purpose and love. I really enjoyed that connection from the past to the present and being able to find needs anytime, wherever you are, or whatever your experience is, the possibility of that. I really appreciated that. And just that practice of being in touch with pure sadness and letting that flow without resistance, it seems like another aspect of beneficial regret. Just, oh, yeah, just sadness. And it cuts through all the layers we can pile on top of extra suffering and extra judgment of self and so on. So, whew, very rich for me, and a lot of gratitude for that.
Thank you, Louise. Enjoyed savoring that with you. Teresa?
I don't think I have a lot to add. I think the thing I noticed about the emotion without the thought was just that ended a lot quicker than I thought it would.
Yeah, thanks. Kim and then Charlene?
I'm sitting with a lot of discomfort and sadness, and I'm seeing the gift in that tonight. I especially appreciated what Jory said there at the end about being a bit wiser now, knowing that I think tonight I have a clear understanding of the source of my stepping into the vortex, which is an enlightening thing in itself. But also when she said, now I'm wiser, now I would do it differently, now I see. So I have a much clearer picture of things tonight. I think I need to kind of sit with the discomfort a little while longer. I think that's what I need right now. Yeah, I guess that's about it. I enjoyed tonight's session. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Sitting and savoring that discomfort with you and kind of enjoying that sense of permission that you're giving yourself to feel that discomfort. Charlene and then Roberta.
With the lack of chatter or lack of chastising, which usually the chatter does, I feel like I'm at a place of acceptance. I have a sense of self-acceptance. That feels good.
Thanks, Charlene. Jean and then Jory?
I'm feeling much clearer. When I was doing the exercise, I felt like I was just falling into that vortex, and I couldn't see clear to get out, and seeing the situation happening again with the person tomorrow. So when Jory made the statement of finding the life-serving purpose for the resentment, it just all came clear that it's for my own physical safety, and I want to learn to be strong enough to say no on that. I feel great. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Jean. What a journey. Wow. Jory.
Oh, I'm particularly savoring that last little bit, that it came to you so quickly, Jean. so that you could actually be able to liberate yourself to find a more constructive way to get your need met. I too am appreciating the anchor that resentment is to hold us to that spot until we make sure that our needs are met. That's really sweet to hear. And this is such a tender lesson as we really look at the effects in our lives of what we haven't known, and yet such a sweet opportunity to also recreate those situations with what we do know and to be liberated to do things differently. I guess the morning is so important to me because it is the way that I am able to get into the energy that will support me as opposed to the disconnected energy and make sure that I don't hurt myself as much as I can with things like resentment and depression and guilt, but rather focus on that need in a sweet way. And I loved hearing that experience of, yeah, I was amazed how fast the feelings moved when I really focused on them and stopped the thoughts, you know, not stopped, but acknowledged the thoughts and then let them flow. And that's been my experience, and that's why for me mourning is such an important part of my path. So anyway, I feel really full. Thank you.
Thanks, Jory. And this mourning is not not an easy habit for me to get into. I know I still kind of resist it, but I really got something out of what you just said about when I measure the pain of mourning against the suffering of resentment, I'll take mourning any day. So that kind of encourages me to lean into the pain a little bit more. And even like hearing your first example tonight and touching my own mourning about how maybe not helping you with getting the mentoring calls scheduled, stimulated some pain in you. I just kind of saw myself going off a little bit with that and being led through the mourning process, just touching the sweetness of how much I long to help you and how sometimes I don't. And both of those things can coexist. And so I think I'm finished with my check-in. I'd just like to leave you all with a gift, one of my favorite quotes from Marshall. You've never done anything wrong. You never have, and you never will. You may have done some things that, if you could do them again, you may choose differently. And the fun thing is, at least from Marshall's point of view, and so that's always the case, that we're always learning. So I like that theme that I heard from some of the checkouts about the increasing wisdom, increasing presence, just increasing. So I'll look forward to calling you all again next week. Aloha and mahalo.
This recording is copyrighted by the NVC Academy and is for personal use only. To support our sustainability, redistribution of this recording is prohibited without written consent of the NVC Academy. Thank you.